everyone. Thank you for joining us to the series of talks, A New Life with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And we're joining you to join us. We're inviting you to join us here to these series of talks. We've been talking about money, and we'll continue to talk about that today. So join us. I hope it will be interesting for you. Rav Lightman, the subject we'd like to talk about today is it's a topic that's, I can see on you. Well, it's loaded. We'd like to talk about, in regards to our understanding of money, we'd like to talk about a very interesting phenomena that you can identify, the connection between money and the Jewish mind. There's a kind of awareness or consciousness in the public that Jewish equals money. So I wrote down all kinds of associations that I had with that. Manipulations, cleverness, life wisdom, trade, money, a sense of smell, consulting, strategy, behind the scenes, quick thinking, quick perception, invention, and so there's something here that you can identify. Money and the Jewish mind. And the question is, what's going on here? I've never heard in my life an explanation that would explain why does this go together, money and Jews. What is there here? What is a secret? What is a code? And there isn't such a big secret here. It's clear. That after we were at the spiritual height, what does that mean? Before the destruction of the temple, all of our internal power comes from being close to spirituality. Well, let's just define the situation in which we find ourselves. Our purpose in this talk is to create advocacy and explanations for the general public. I can't. Okay, so maybe you can just talk in a way that people will understand about money and the Jewish mind. What is the big secret? Well, if we talk about Jews, then we have to begin with Abraham, our forefather, the first Jew. Well, Joseph in Egypt, they already brought him to, you know why. So what is there here with Jews and money? Jews are not a nation. It's a special type of people who have an inclination towards spiritual advancement and development. They have an impulse towards it. I'm not talking about Jews today. I'm talking about what exists at the basis of these people. And Abraham, our forefather, during a crisis that is similar to this crisis that we are experiencing in ancient Babylon about 3,500 years ago, he advertised the wisdom of Kabbalah there. And they wanted to toss him out. Nimrod wanted to toss him out of Babylon. And Abraham, our forefather, left. And he took with him a few thousands of people who joined him. Not in coming to the physical land of Canaan, which is now the land of Israel, but in reaching spiritual attainment. These people are called Jews. And they are the ones who reach spiritual attainment through unity between them. They're also called Hebrews because it's from the word ivri, to pass from the egoistic desire which was erupting in Babylon as it is today in our days. So they pass from the egoistic desire to the altruistic desire, the desire to bestow, to the love of others. They had an impulse to reach it, to know nature, to open it up, and to know the essence of creation. And these people joined Abraham. They had this special inclination. And from this organization of this group, who are called the Sons of Abraham, who was their teacher, this group left Babylon, as also the Rambam writes of this, the thousands left with him, and they left Babylon and walked towards the land of Canaan, and he taught them until over time They became a people, a nation. They got married. They grew in numbers and so on. So then, in addition to what each and every person has, where he gets along in this life, he lives and organizes his life, there is something additional. They had a very strong inclination to understand creation, its secret, the essence of life. What is the purpose of life? The plan of life, the purpose of life, the reason for life. A very essential question about man's existence in his world. And this ability to open this great problem, they had it, and so they reached it, and they existed at a very high spiritual level, meaning that in their unity, in their connection, they discovered the secret of creation. What is the secret or the basis of creation? It's the same force that gives life, because the moment we connect and unite, we create between us that same force that connects, the force that enlivens the entire creation. Because we are like cells in a body where, even though each cell is separate, together with that, when they connect between them in order to keep the wholeness of the body, then the force of life is created. There's a flow between them and multiplication and aliveness. And so when people connect between themselves in such a way where everyone is devoted to the unity between them, in order to create the essence of life between them, this new essence which is common, which is shared by them, to that extent they can feel this force of shared life. And this is what they reached. They discovered the force that is hidden within nature, on the condition that the cells, that the parts that are separate to begin with, if they connect, they create this new essence that is called life. And just like with us, in the natural way that our cells create naturally together and create our body, our physical body, if we also connect, each of us as one single cell, together with others, through love thy neighbor as thyself, through connection between us, we stabilize between us a body which begins to discover within it life, but it's life that's already on the human level, a higher level than our body's physical life. It's a higher level. So this experience of life is called the spiritual life. This ability which exists in human beings, only few human beings, it's a very special ability, because it gives them, if they connected, if they united, despite each and every person's ego, it gives them the feeling of spiritual life, life above the life of the physical body. The body is alive thanks to the connection between the physical cells, its biology. And here, when they connect, it's on a higher level, the human level. When this doesn't exist in our world, unless humans make it happen, and then they discover it. And this is a life that does not depend on the body anymore. The body, the life of the body can exist or not, the cells can be together or disintegrate and die, but the forces and powers within people who connect between them, they stabilize a kind of body that is made of their forces, the spiritual body. It's called spiritual because it's not dressed in our physical flesh. And then those who work with these spiritual powers or forces, in addition to their physical body, they stabilize a kind of essence that is not dependent on the physical life, which is the spiritual body, the common shared body. This body is called Knesset Israel, Holy Divinity, Shekhinah. It has a lot of names. Or the general soul. Soul. And then these humans who stabilized, who created this body, they have this experience of the spiritual life on a higher level and as opposed to the physical body. The bodies can die and this liveliness can sustain itself, can continue. Because to begin with, this ability that a person has, which is why he's called Jewish, because he has the ability to be in unity with others, it's an additional force. It doesn't belong to the body. So if we only connect these forces, then they create and stabilize this platform, this basis for spiritual life. And this is what they did. According to Abraham's method, who was the quality of chesed, of love, of mercy, he taught them how to fulfill this potential within them. And this is called the nation of Israel. Nation, the people, means connection of those people who naturally hold that special force within them. It's called the spark, the point in the heart, the godly part from above within man. And actually, this is the basis of all of the Jews and Judaism. And later what happened to this entire group during the generations where they multiplied and they taught their children how to do this from the youngest ages, from the moment they were born. They taught them how to be connected above their ego, together, everybody, as one should help his friend, love thy neighbor as thyself, don't do to others what you hate, all of Israel are friends, and so on and so on. All of these so-called slogans, which talk about unity and connection, that no other nation has, but are typical to this one, because it is the one that connected and became a nation from out of this principle. It's a nation that exists to begin with only thanks to this fact that there are such different people from different tribes that were in Babylon, all these great families, different people that lived there. Well, each nation there was just a few thousands of people in those times. But from each place that a person felt that he has this desire that is higher than life, our desire to reach our King, to know Him, as is written, it is called to discover the secret of life. They all came to Abraham because he was the Kohen, the Babylonian priest, the wise man. And they use this extra force within the person that's called the point in the heart or the spark or godly part from above. They use it in order to unite in the correct way. However, after they reached the land of Israel, and then they connected even more powerfully between them, their ego began to grow, and this is naturally according to this internal engine that exists within human society, which is constantly advancing and developing. And they began to evolve more. The ego within them began to grow. And the ego, when it grows especially so that they needed to unite even more, despite the ego within them, because these forces, the positive and negative, the force of connection and bestowal versus the force of separation, they depend on each other and they build each other up. the more you have the ability to connect more, then a bigger ego appears, so that above it you would build an even stronger force of bestowal and connection, and by that you enter the experience of nature of even higher life. This is called that you rise on the ladder of the feeling, experience, and acknowledgement and consciousness of life. And they succeeded at first, and they reached a truly very, very high level of connection, which is in the internal attainment of life, a force that flowed between them and this connection between them, despite the ego that they had. They created this spiritual body between them, these connected desires in mutuality, just like in one body. In one heart, as it is written, is one man in one heart, in our voot, in mutual guarantee. And suddenly, a time came when they couldn't cope anymore with the growing ego. And they began to descend. Each ego that would grow, that would add itself, They started to use their spiritual power, their spiritual force, to serve the ego. Their occupation, which was the spiritual ego, to use the ego in order to strengthen the connection between them, now it was the opposite. They used the connection between them in order to fulfill the ego that grew in them more and more. And this is already called strange work, foreign work, that is the opposite of what Jews need to do in order to unite and connect. And this is called the descent, until they descended so far in the spiritual use for the sake of the ego, until finally they left the feeling of the spiritual life. It's as if the body that they created, it became more and more ill and old, and it lacked power, and until it died, the flow of life stopped between their desires. They weren't connected together anymore in their hearts, meaning in their desires, and this is called destruction. And when the spiritual connections stopped, then the physical connection remained. But it wasn't so typical for them to be connected, to be tied together. It's not like the rest of the nations that have this connection on the physical, material level. And also they went out to exile, because the place itself were people who are connected, especially those who have the ability to connect. It is called the land of Israel. And this place is only destined for those who want to connect. We're going to unite together, all of them. And otherwise, no. Otherwise, they have nothing to do here in this place. It's a place that has nothing that is worthwhile living for, not treasures, natural treasures or anything. This place is, it can only be enlivened by those people who are connected between them spiritually, in their spirit, in the ability to forgive, to forsake, to... And those who live here in connection and unity make this place flourish. And they leave here because they leave this direction of connection, and then this place goes into destruction. And we see this through history. People lived here just like in a desert. And Jews that went out to exile and dispersed from the land of Israel to all kinds of different lands of the exile, of the diaspora, they were connected between them according to that memory, according to those different traditions that they had, to pray together, to perform all kinds of other traditions and habits, because all those habits and traditions, those customs, they used to be spiritual actions that caused a spiritual connection between them and all kinds of different degrees of spirituality. They would connect amongst each other and at such a high level, with such a power of desire. That it would express itself as in a very high human psychology, that we cannot attain it because these desires are only revealed in bestowal and in mutual unity and love. And these desires, they would create such unions, such connections that were called at filin, the washing of the hands, the kosher and the non-kosher, the days of Olah and the circumcision. These were corrections, connections in the desires between them. And when they fell from this height, then what was left for them was only the physical existence of all of these actions. Because the spiritual existence is called the mitzvot, the precepts, the commandments, that they had to reach connection for each and every inner willing action to connect them. And all that was left were these customs, meaning physical acts that nobody doesn't even know what it signifies, what they signify. But that's the way it is. This is the way we are. There are customs that are typical to Jews who, in this world. And they kept this connection between them as Jews who had the same language and the same culture, the same customs. And so they stayed connected between them in all the different lands of exile. And all the power that they had in their spiritual life, even though this spiritual life was gone from them, that internal ability to also be in connection, though now they are separated, this ability gives them a wisdom and a special ability in all kinds of businesses of this world, in science, in culture, in development, above what's necessary of what people in our world do. And there are all kinds of researches. And we see that the nations where Jews did not live between them over history, these nations remained in a very and quite a in a form that is quite close to their basis, like the different Indian tribes and India and the Chinese and so on, and the nations in which Jews did live. Even though there were all kinds of unpleasant periods of time, they were oppressed and so on. But these nations took the culture from them and the religion and also the approach towards development. And we see over history, doctors, engineers, wise men and economists, people who used to drive technology, medicine, science in many places, you can always find some Jew there who organizes, who is the one who accomplishes these tasks. And this is how they advanced and developed. And aside from that, the study that they still had, even this physical study, we know even till today that one who studies the Talmud, which talks about the work in two lines, the line of the evil inclination and the line of the good inclination, separation and connection, the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel. Then in this study, which you study, you always exist between two different forces, the force of separation and the force of connection, and you keep discussing, making a discussion between them. You are scrutinizing and discerning, where should I be, in this line or this line? How do I gain more from these two forces in each and every case, in the optimal way, to the maximum? And therefore, one who deals with this material naturally becomes wiser because he develops his approach that is so multi-layered and rich and open to every different, any case or event in the world. And if you study these things from the youngest age, because in no nation was it even customary for children to learn how to read and write. You didn't see such a thing. Until today, you see people that don't know how to read or write. He knows how to talk, and that's enough. And with Jews, there was no such thing, since they left Babylon, that people wouldn't know how to read and write. Other people didn't know how to calculate, how to... that they didn't know from their books about the stars, about nature, the still vegetative animal and speaking levels, the process, because the study that a person undergoes, where he studies himself and how he is connected and needs to be connected with others, and how he needs to be accordingly connected and balanced with nature. This study includes all of science within it. And then everybody would develop this way. So then this is a nation that didn't know what it meant to be illiterate, uneducated, and as opposed to all of the neighbors that lived completely as if they were still on the trees. If you look at that Europe that is now so proud, that is so advanced, if you see what happened there until about 100 years ago, most people didn't even know how to read and write. And 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, well, there's nothing to talk about. They still lived on the trees. In the trees. So then, you see here a phenomenon that is very special and does not belong to our world. There's a group in our world that it's as if it came from a spaceship from some other planet. And it would live here according to the laws of that other planet, in bestowal and mutual love and mutual feeling of each other and this experience of life of that planet. And later, when they landed on the face of the earth, then they were just corrupted. And therefore, even when they were corrupted, and they found themselves here as those who are estranged to this normal human spirit or atmosphere, and they started using what's in this world, and their approach became just like that of what they took from others, from our planet here. But in their internality, they have special qualities, a special ability. And even if they use this ability for their material business, as is common here on Earth, they have a special ability or an inclination to it, even though when they all lived in the lands of the diaspora of exile, they had to be as subdued as possible, to stick out as least as possible, because their concern was only to keep themselves alive in existence and to be as safe as possible today and tomorrow, as possible as that was between their those who hated them and their enemies and the barbarians that lived between them. Because Jews would use one language in different lands, in different countries, then they had the ability to connect between them. And they weren't so connected to the land. So they began the trade. I go to each place. In each place I find Jews. In the lands of the diaspora, they all speak the same language. I go together with them to a place called the synagogue, where everybody comes to, and there I meet all the Jews in that same village or town, and then I know everyone, and then we can maybe make some business, do some business. What can we do in order to ensure ourselves for today and tomorrow to be stronger? What trades can I bring? What merchandise can I bring here or there? Of course, they were drawn to things that you can hide better, which are worth as much as possible and in the smallest weight. Gold, diamonds, all kinds of things that one can take with him to all kinds of places and, if possible, to escape. They weren't drawn to be actually tied to the land because they weren't certain what will happen from today to tomorrow, because they were always between a population that was hostile to them. And they knew that only if they would be strong in science, in wisdom, in that they'd be needed by others, then that will give them a kind of security for tomorrow. And we see it on Jews, how they were used in Spain, in England, in Germany, and in all kinds of places where they would use them for a while and then toss them out and burn them and so on. So history continued in this way for a long time. But whatever way you look at it, because they didn't have the dealings with the land itself, because everybody lived out of the land by feeding themselves out of the land. So then they would study medicine. All kinds of different professions that they could use everywhere they went. To have as least property as possible, to have a small property so that they could take it on the road, and an internal property of a person himself, and connections between them. So that a lot of connections between Jews that developed, that caused the different systems of trade and international commerce and diplomacy and all these things. And this is how it evolved. So, of course, money and trade belonged to them first of all, in the first place. And they also, because they knew, they all knew how to read and write, they could make the arithmetic, do the arithmetic, they could calculate percentages, all kinds of calculations that the regular people they didn't understand what is going on. So they had the possibility to make such calculations in the economy that others do not understand how they are succeeding. Today, it's understood because it's taught at any small school of economy how to calculate the interest. But the people who lived then, they didn't understand, and this was really their turf. Money was, of course, very important to them because it's a covering to all the problems. Every king, every ruler in each place needed money because they didn't know exactly what to do with it, because they used it for all kinds of things, for wars, and Jews could give it to them and also promise to themselves a kind of secure life under the rule of those masters, of that specific ruler. Until today. So, of course, that aside from them being especially excellent at this supernatural power, they also had a knowledge of languages, of arithmetic, of history, of everything, whatever, of geography. Everything came from the Torah, which nobody else had. Of none of the other nations they lived amongst. And also their customs, because these customs, in accordance to the higher root, then these are customs which would keep their health. Even washing the hands, or dipping in the mikveh, or all the other things, how to prepare the food, how to keep the kosher. These are actually rules that, as opposed to a complete lack of rules and culture, minimal culture, in Europe, the lack of rules and customs in Europe brought all kinds of plagues onto Europe, and the Jews hardly touched them. Because first of all, in Europe, it wasn't a custom to wash. People thought that it brought you illnesses. They wouldn't wash themselves. And Jews had to, before Saturday, to enter the mikveh, after a woman's period, to enter the mikveh, and so on and so on. It's the ritual bath. So they used to clip their nails. They used to work with the food. They didn't eat food that was not cooked, that was not processed, that was not clean. In short, all of the culture that they had that was built on the different advice that they had, it was very healthy in all of the countries of the diaspora, but it would harm their image very much, because people thought they had some powers that they want for everybody around them to be ill and for them themselves to stay healthy. In short, I don't have words. There's a lot in this. There's tons of books about it. So that's it. But in regards to money, until today, almost, today it's already not so much. Up until today, I'd say it's in our genes. It was passed down in their genes, and the ability to be successful in all kinds of professions, of science, of connection, of commerce, and so on. Commerce is also connection. Everything that has to do with connection between human beings, except on the material levels, they would succeed at that. And until today, more or less, it still is visible, but also in the last century has begun to descend to the normal level. And I'd say that I'm not sure the Jews today are so much more successful at it today than the nations of the world. because we've descended completely to the level of all other nations, this is the end of exile. You described this, this historical background to us very wide, and it included our spiritual, the Jewish people's spiritual root, and how they lost it. Yes, they lost it to the opposite state for the sake of money. So when we look at each at us today, nobody goes back to the spiritual root. If we look at us over the past few years, even over the past few hundred years, we are perceived by the public as very wise people. The human head or mind always finds patents and invents all kinds of things. It's manipulative. It's a good merchant, and it exists in the common consciousness. Everybody agree, and it's something that before you said that it has to do with the fact that they studied and they received this wisdom, and so they had this advantage over others that didn't do it. But over the last years, this part is very disconnected from the Jewish people, but still it has a very special talent because it still exists in a person's spiritual gene. This potential, this ability, it exists, it's there. So then there's a special sense. Yes, but it's also beginning to become extinct, I'd say. But even though it's becoming extinct from a place that you see it, still, whenever there is the issue of financial crisis in the world, from research and data that we saw from lately, not from a long time ago, there's always tie. There's a triangle that says that there's a financial crisis, Jews and anti-Semitism. It's like a triangle, something that always comes up. And always we're somehow... they attribute to us a lot more than this truly happening, but still, this will not finish, this will not end, because this force has to bring us to the correct usage of all of this ability, this special ability that's inside us. Anti-Semitism helps. It keeps us safe. It's it pushes us and to do our role. It doesn't keep us safe, but it guards us and helps us to perform our role. So, and even though it's very hard for us to accept by pressuring us, they are performing a role of keeping us together like wolves that force the sheep to be together and as closely together as possible. And aside from that, if we are mentioning anti-Semitism, we can only expel anti-Semitism if we openly speak of our role, our true role, in all of the true force and truth, the higher truth. What is our role? Again, our role is to connect to that same connection once again above our ego, just like we were before once, and to be united. We will need to draw all the nations of the world to this unity, and they themselves will be drawn to it, and they want to be together with us in this connection, and they do not demand anything from us but that. We will never be good in their eyes or respected or useful only on the condition that we fulfill exactly this role. When you're speaking from this level that is higher, that is spiritual. When we look at it from, even when I'm thinking of our viewers or those who are watching us, as far as they're concerned, perhaps the spiritual root of the Jewish people is not something that there is remembered. But it does see the image that the manipulative Jew has today, the one that makes money, the one that's always being blamed for everything. He's also one that is always behind the scenes and pulling the strings, and is many times he keeps himself behind the scenes, doesn't want to be in the front, doesn't want to be seen. He's cooking everything in the back. So this is interesting because we want to find this connection and to understand, but to do so from what we see now. The spiritual root is in the back. We haven't reached it yet. Perhaps right now if you could focus on this image. But it's not the root anymore. This is already the result. Yes, but this is what we see. What do we see? Today, what we experience in our reality is a state in which in the entire world we're given this image. And this is just, this is rightfully, that the financial crises are always tied to us in some way. This is also rightfully. But in our country, we see that we're not able to make money, even though all the great minds are here. Here, of course, we won't see success, because we'll only succeed if we're connected. So here, Or and I asked ourselves, how is it possible that abroad we make so much money, and here in Israel we're not able to? No. Here, we will be able to create a foundation, more or less, that will sustain us, but it won't be successful. To go higher than this necessary level in the land of Israel, we'll only be able to do that if we start to connect. And right now, we're still living in the time of preparation. It's as though we're preparing this foundation so that we would be able to start to connect. And now that we've built this foundation, if we do not begin to connect, let's say that we've finished building it, then we have truly finished it. We are even beyond it. But once we finish this foundation, we must begin to unite, and only in that, through this plan of connection between us, only on that does our flourishing depend, our excellence, the security, health of the nation and the country and the state. It depends only on that. This country will see no development. We will look, even if we search 1,000 more years, for gas and oil and all kinds of things to be special, just like all the other countries, to have stuff of our own. We'll have nothing of our own. Our well is not a well of oil. It's from above. We need to connect to there and to draw from there, and then the whole world will want to buy from us what we'll be able to take out from our well, which is only ours. The entire world will want to receive from there. It's not wells of gas and oil and water and something else. This is what we need. And then the land of Israel will blossom and flourish. Otherwise, no. We won't be able to rise. We will always waste our money on all kinds of wars and all kinds of problems, thefts, whatever. Suddenly something will be revealed that we will have to. Nothing will help us. We won't enter a crisis like the rest of the world to such an extent that it finishes us off. We will find ourselves for now in a state where we have to begin to develop spiritually. In the entire world, the crisis, the material crisis, and in with us, this blow comes with the spiritual aspect in order to push us to spiritual connection and development. I don't have the words so much to express it. We'll find them over time. But this is what we need to understand, that we've received here an opportunity for redemption, for salvation. We've returned to Israel, to this land. We've created the foundation, and now we are at the center of the entire world, and all the hate, gradually, all the politics, all the weapons, it is all aimed at us. And if we would like to continue, we can only continue through the force of connection and unity between us. There is nothing in our world here, whatever missiles we have or bombs, atom bombs, whatever, that will not help. We won't be able to use it. We won't be able to. Only by manufacturing the spiritual force through it, we will destroy all those who turn to us and want to eat us up. We will turn them from our enemies to our lovers, to our friends, only through this. And we'll also, our destiny, our purpose is also to help them come into this unity as well. So you're saying is we need to connect, and when you're saying trade is about connection, and what we know is that trade is about money, about cash. So what does it mean that trade is about connection? What do you mean? It's well known. I once dealt with connection between humans in the spiritual level above the ego. How are we able to concede more, to become more integrated, to connect more, and through that to take more of the money? Money is a screen, the kisufa, the longing, and through that to attain more of the spiritual pleasures and spiritual attainments. It's a clear gain from connection. And later, when we began to separate and the evil inclination entered my calculations, then I began to work with my evil inclination, with not in order to rise above it, but to feed it. And so-called, I did it with the same system and the same software that I already have. And then it turns out that I deal with connection in order to fill my ego, my evil inclination, but I'm still dealing with connection. And so it's worthwhile for me to take some trade here and there and get some interest from him or her. And with all of these different connections, I do this not to rise above, but to fill my own box. But this ability, it's still there. It exists. It doesn't exist in a regular person. It exists in the human, in the Jewish mind. It's almost in each and every one. So one is a bigger merchant, and the other is a smaller one. And we can still see it in our world, but it's more simple, because once the system has been built, then also those from the nations in the world can participate in the system once it's built. But otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to build it themselves. And if we see Asia, China, what trade did they have? They connected to Europe, which received its culture from us, its development from us. I didn't understand this all the way. You said that the Jewish mind has this ability to trade, and you said that one is a small merchant, another is a big merchant. Well, you study the Talmud, you know what it speaks of, and how to make three out of two. From right and left, a middle line. What is a middle line? It connects two different lines together. This is called a gain. The egoistic power on the left, the bestowal altruistic power on the right. How do I receive and how do I give, and how from both of them? I gain from the both of them. This is the calculation. I didn't grasp this all the way. I'll tell you what I did get, and you'll explain. You said that the Jewish mind has this special ability, a special ability that characterizes Jews. You said everybody are merchants. One is big, one is small. Now, quality is connection. The quality of Jews, and this is why it's called Jews, from Yichud, from Chibur, from connection and unity. This is his quality, first of all. And now the evil inclination came, and through it, I connect even more powerfully. Either that, or through this evil inclination, I can gain more with my ability to connect. You want that, and you want that. And I'm here in the middle between you. So I'll take this from you and that from him, and I will give you a little bit from here, and I'll give that him a little bit from there, and I will keep the gain. Why is that bad? I don't feel it is bad. It is bad because the gain goes into the will to receive and not to the will to bestow. And the Jews needed to raise themselves above the ego. And once they stop working on the spiritual level to connect above the ego, because the ego would bring them higher and higher up to connection. The ego was like would lift them up. Then they began to use connection for the sake of their own ego. Not to use the ego for the sake of connection, but the connection for the sake of the ego. This is called foreign work, strange work, not Jewish. But this is how they lived, and therefore this way of life is called exile. I don't understand. Business is bad in your eyes? Is trade bad? When I connect, let's say, the three of us, when I connect you two, she needs something, you have it, I come in the middle, I take it from you, I give it to her, and from her to me. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I make all these connections. You said that the quality of Jews is connection, right? So let's say I'm the Jew. So I explained to you before where it comes from. I understood they have a special ability to connect. Where from? You're skipping. You're disrespecting our basis. You don't want to hear it. And I'm telling you, it comes from spirituality. What, the ability to connect? But is that bad? Is business bad? No. This ability is not bad. Except the way you use it. Is it for trade? Is it bad to use it for trade? If this is your entire life, if this is your entire destiny, if this is what you exist for, then it's bad. Because it's not right to live for this purpose. Because you bury yourself in this life. It's as if you've gone back to Babylon. I don't understand. Because you don't want to hear it. No, you have a special barrier. I'm telling you, you don't want to hear it. Business is not bad. It's bad if this is your entire life. If your whole life is business, it's bad. And therefore, Jews are not okay in some way because they're only doing business. Yes, yes. What do they need to add to business? They need to do this business only for the sake of their existence and to use all the rest of their powers towards connection, their excellence in connection, to truly be aimed at connection, not to connect between Jeffrey and John and take some percentages off of them. They need to connect between them for the spiritual existence. And then, by that, they will take care of anti-Semitism, they will take care of the attainment of the higher force, and they will always have the secure existence on the material plane. The way it is, they don't have that or that or that. So you gave this example now with Jeffrey and John. Let's say you two are Jeffrey and John, and I'm the Jew. Then I have this gene inside me that I've been carrying over history. It gives me the ability to connect. I understood that this is the quality that Jews have. The quality of Jews is to connect. So I know how to do business with Jeffrey and John. And this is what you're saying that I've done so far. During exile, yes. Right, over the last 2,000 years, yes. So now you're saying I need to add something to that. It's okay that I continue to do business with Jeffrey and John because this is my special quality, but I need to add to that another special kind of connection between Jeffrey and John, which I'm also the only one who can drive, because the business, I see the Jews, they drove it, they were the engine for it. But now you're saying that above it, you said business isn't bad, you can keep business for the sake of existence, and above it, this is the first floor. For the sake of existence at all, alone, it's finished as it is. This is the first floor, yes? Yes. And above it, you want us to build a second floor. Do I also create the connection here as well, me, the Jew? You must. But is it only me who can connect you two, Jeffrey and John? Yes. What kind of connection do I need to make between you as on top of the business that I know? A spiritual one, in your desires. What desires? For everybody to connect in their desires to each other, to one humanity, just like Jews were once connected between them. This is what you left Israel into the exile in order to connect everyone. But this, you need to be the glue of all of humanity. When you are between everyone, you glue them all together. They can't be glued together. When you exist between them, you are the glue. You need to be the glue. Because you are the one who has and can have the force of bestowal, the quality of bestowal that they don't, they can't have. So you take all of them as the parts of this one system, and you are the hose between them. You are the conductor between them. Is this a new kind of business? Yeah, it's a spiritual business. If I understand the clocks here, then our time is up. So we'll stop here and continue. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. And thank you to you as well. There's a new business. Come, we'll make a lot of money. Until next time, all the best and goodbye.